The Truth News Network. Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
Welcome to a new week. Welcome to Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman. So thankful that you joined us today. I hope you had a great weekend, and I know you're going to have a great week. Today we're starting the week with a little bit different story. This one's called Faces of Lunacy. You know, it's probably no surprise that the American political landscape is littered with an abundance of people who have lost all semblances of reason and are trumpeting, no pun intended, those losses to the world via newspapers and television and radio news shows every day, all day long, all night long, it seems. Well, nothing seems to be off limits to scream at the world. Unfortunately, many of those who have fallen into this trap are those who have previously maintained, at least publicly, positions of integrity and that came with decorum. Throw all of that integrity and decorum out the window. We now live in the world of absolutely anything goes. Where do we start? And with whom do we start to illustrate this lunacy? So today we've got three faces of lunacy to talk about. There are many more, but we're just going to talk about these three. And let's start with John Brennan, former CIA director under President Obama and President Trump's self-proclaimed arch enemy. Like few others who have a spot on the national stage, Brennan continually spits venom at the president through Twitter, through television news shows, primarily on MSNBC. Watch and listen to this back and forth between Brennan and Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC. It's pretty much hard to believe.
Today, in response to the president's most crazed tweet of the day, the Obama administration's former CIA director, John Brennan, tweeted to the president, "It's astounding how often you fail to live up to minimum standards of decency, civility, and probity. Seems like you will never understand what it means to be president, nor what it takes to be a good, decent, and honest person. So disheartening, so dangerous for our nation." Joining us now, former CIA Director John Brennan. He is our senior national security and intelligence analyst for MSNBC and NBC News. Director Brennan, what the last part of your tweet really captured my attention, saying that it's so dangerous for our nation. In what ways?
Well, good evening, Lawrence, and thank you for having me on. Well, I think in two principal ways. First, I think Donald Trump has badly sullied the reputation of the office of the presidency with his invective, with his constant disregard, I think, for human decency, as well as his befriending of autocratic leaders around the world, and his continued pursuit of relationships to benefit himself as opposed to the country. I do think that America's standing in the world has also been tarnished. But I think even more fundamentally, what he is doing here in the United States is very polarizing, and he is, I think, the most divisive president we've ever had in the Oval Office. He is feeding and fueling hatred and animosity and misunderstandings among Americans. And so I am very concerned when I look at some of the tweets that are out there and commentary. We are just fighting with each other as a nation. And this is something that the President of the United States traditionally has been the one to try to heal these domestic wounds, these domestic problems. But I think Donald Trump has failed repeatedly to try to do that. He continues just to play to his base of support and feeds them, basically with raw meat, a lot of this language that tends to get them riled up.
For those of you watching, reading the blog post on the blog page, you can see more of that interview just by continuing with John Brennan. Brennan has become the darling of mainstream media simply because he holds nothing back at his constant attacks on the president. Nothing and no one in President Trump's life is exempt from these either. It's startling to watch and listen to the arrogance and hatred of this public servant, especially in light of his speckled past and present. Barack Obama's CIA chief, John Brennan, told the annual legislative conference of the Congressional Black Caucus on September 15, 2016 in Washington, that when he had applied in 1980 to join the CIA, he admitted to them that in the 1976 presidential election, you remember when Jimmy Carter was running against Gerald Ford, Brennan voted instead for the candidate of the U.S. Communist Party, Gus Hall, and that he was then greatly relieved to find that this information didn't cause rejection of a CIA application. Think about that, folks. A guy who eventually became the CIA director admitted that he voted for president for a communist instead of for Jimmy Carter, who ended up beating Gerald Ford, who was president at the time, in that election in 1976. This happened 11 years before the 91 end of the Cold War. Think about how close those were together. At least twice, in addition to the travesty of voting for a communist, Brennan lied in sworn testimony to Congress. Brennan publicly and before Congress denied the CIA had ever spied on members of the U.S. Senate. The statement was made in response to public accusations by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California that such had happened. It was later learned that Brennan had lied and that on his watch, the CIA had spied on members of the U.S. Senate. With that revelation, many in Congress, including Democrat Party leaders, urged President Obama to fire Brennan for the spying and his lie. The New York Times and the Washington Post both called for Brennan to go. Things change, don't they? Well, long before his lies to the Senate in 2011, Brennan, then the country's chief counterterrorism advisor, had sworn to Congress that scores of drone strikes abroad had not killed a single non-combatant at a time when both the president and the CIA were both receiving numerous reports of civilian collateral deaths. It was later learned that not only was Brennan's story to Congress false, it was confirmed that he not only knew about the strikes and deaths, he was involved in supervision of those attacks. And there's one more I forgot. In May of 2017, as an ex-CIA director testifying before Congress, when in answer to Representative Trey Gowdy's questions, he stated that he neither knew who had commissioned the Steele dossier, nor had the CIA relied on its contents for any action. Brennan lied. Both the retired National Security Agency director Michael Rogers and the former director of National Intelligence, Brennan's buddy James Clapper, have conceded that the Steele dossier, along with the knowledge that it was a Clinton campaign-funded product, most certainly did help shape the Obama's intelligence community agencies sharing security information with each other, often under the urging of Brennan himself. Brennan received the same information about the dossier as the other agencies. In fact, there is no evidence that shows Brennan actually did not know. In fact, there's evidence that says he shared the dossier with an aide of Senator John McCain for the express purpose of giving it to the FBI. But what really evidences Brennan's lunacy is his reference in the above interview with MSNBC's O'Donnell. In his expression of disdain and hatred for all things Donald Trump, including, folks, Trump followers, Trump voters, 60-plus million Americans who voted for then-Canada Trump, Brennan stated in the story and the speech you just heard and saw, Trump's purpose for his communications with his base were literally like throwing them raw meat. Wild dogs love raw meat. I guess Brennan's reference means that Trump followers are wild dogs because he would throw them raw meat. I guess Brennan moved them from the deplorables basket where Hillary kept them to a wild dog pen. Wow, let's move on. Everybody knows who Senator Elizabeth Warren is. She's a U.S. Senator from Massachusetts. She's running for re-election this fall, has seemingly joined John Brennan in nonstop attacks of President Trump, members of his family and also members of his administration. Everything the president does and everything the president says in the U.S. and even overseas, and even attacks those who play a role in current events that the president discusses. He tries to bully me to shut me up, and he's also trying to bully women all across this country. He talks about the Me Too movement. It isn't just me he's going after. Warren said this after an event at Lookout Farm in this Boston suburb that her campaign said was attended by more than 1,400 people. Wow. She continued, "It's every woman who speaks up. He thinks we should sit down and shut up. It's just not going to happen." You'll remember the president famously lit a permanent fire under Warren when he named her Pocahontas. That jab was in regards to her claim in an application to teach at Harvard that she had Native American heritage. Why would she say that? Reportedly, for the purpose of receiving minority consideration in her job application and the application process at Harvard. The senator's Indian heritage has been a constant thing of contention for her ever since, as you can imagine. In interviews on both Fox News and NBC, Warren would not answer questions about whether she would take a DNA test, as Republicans and even one Massachusetts newspaper, the Berkshire Eagle, have suggested that she should. Family members told her mother she was part Native American, she told Fox. And it was, quote, a part of who I am, and no one's ever going to take that away. Asked on NBC what would be wrong with knowing for sure about her ancestry, Warren said this, I do know. I know who I am. Never used it for anything. Never got any benefit from it anywhere. She continuously refers to the president as a bully, a racist, and a sexist. She has been quoted as saying he is the worst president in U.S. history. The irony surrounding the lunacy of Senator Warren is that she's known far more for her continuous vitriolic attacks on the former candidate, now President Donald Trump, than any legislative action she has either initiated or joined as senator or actually pushed through into legislation in Congress. She is a politician, pure and simple, and I think you'll agree with me there. And she's an angry one at that. Well, we've got one more of the faces of lunacy to bring to you and discuss, and we're going to do that. You're going to love this. Sit tight. Right back after this at the Truth News Network.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say, bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.
Determination. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Everyone thinks they can handle the truth, but the want and the will are two different things.
TruthNewsNet.org.
Once again, Dan Newman.
There's been a lot of stuff going on in the news, a lot of bad stuff, a lot of bad reporting. We're just trying to figure out what's true and what isn't. And that's, as you can imagine, it's not so easy to do nowadays, and I think you'll have to agree that that is the case. We're not going to get into any of the current stuff that's being argued and discussed out there. I don't think it'll do us any good. But what we are going to do is look at one more candidate in this race to be called a lunatic, or at least be possessed by lunacy. How could we have a discussion about politicians in D.C. having a spot of lunacy in their lives without mentioning Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat from California? Oh my gosh, where should we begin?
I don't respect this president. I don't trust this president. He's not working in the best interest of the American people. His motives and his actions are contemptible, and I will fight every day until he is impeached. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Don't forget who he is. He's shown us what kind of human being he is, and he is not going to change. Ladies and gentlemen, my millennials, stay woke. Thank you. Go ahead, impeach 45.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters will forever be known most, not from her legislative actions, not for anything other than her cry, and echoed by her constituents, her followers, impeach 45. The Congresswoman has gone all out in her public outcry against the president. Even before he was officially the president, she began it, and less than 2 weeks after he was inaugurated, started the impeachment cry. She's continued her constant cries for her followers and members of the Democrat Party in Congress to begin impeachment actions. Waters has taken it to a new level. She urged her supporters at a rally to confront administration officials face-to-face in response to the separation of parents and children at the border. That was after a Virginia restaurant refused to serve White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and protesters confronted Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen during dinner at a Mexican restaurant in Washington. If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, Waters said, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. And then Waters tweeted this, remember when I said Trump and his allies are scumbags? Trump is an immoral, indecent, and inhumane thug. He loves Putin, genuflex for Kim Jong-un, loves killer Duarte, wants to be in power for life like President Xi, and is willing to sacrifice children. He needs to be stopped. Impeach 45. Maxine Waters. You know, how does all this happen? What is it? What's going on? It's simply this. It's mob mentality. It's very common in human history, just not very common when discussing inhabitants of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Mob mentality is far more common in nature than in human nature. We've all seen National Geographic shows in which a wounded animal is often brutally attacked by other animals just because it's wounded. Among humans, bullying plays out every day all over the nation at schools where certain students are singled out and are the recipients of pranks and bullying and derision just because of one of those students decided to go after another for what they wear, how they speak, being smarter, or sometimes just for old-fashioned jealousy. Friends and peers of the attackers join in those attacks for no other reason than mob mentality. Animals and teenagers are a bit different from our political leaders in Washington, D.C., or they should be. But these three we talked about today are just a few on the surface. Mob mentality among many on the left is spread out all over the Democrat Party. The anger initially was pointed at Donald Trump alone. But as mob mentality always does, it spread rapidly to anger against his family members, members of the White House staff, GOP House and Senate members, other conservatives, and to include everybody who left to simply think are conservatives. Sadly, the two members of Congress discussed above, while campaigning prolifically and attacking the president with continual arousing vigor, neither has much to offer their constituents in the way of positive legislation at all. God forbid that a congresswoman and a U.S. senator would go to D.C. and spend the majority of their time trying to get positive legislation passed for the voters in their constituency and, of course, for voters in America. Come to think of it, no Democrats in Congress have in the first 18 months of the Trump presidency offered very much meaningful legislation at all. Pretty much all they do, besides lash out at any presidential real or perceived action, is obstruct any legislation offered or even mentioned by GOP House and Senate members or the president. But what all three of these have in common is disgust and hatred for those who share opposing political opinions opposite of those threes. Sadly, their efforts in all this are similar to most on the left. It's saddest that instead of listening to and studying opposing views from those on the other side, their default position is simply that anyone with any different idea is either ignorant, unworthy to even consider having discourse with, and must be just plain stupid, and maybe all three. I'll leave it at this. Political views on opposite sides in the 60s, 70s, and 80s were discussed with regard for those with opposing views and actual desire to find consensus that hopefully would result in actions for the common good of all Americans. 10 or so years ago, that civility to talk to rather than scream at simply disappeared. Political discourse has devolved into this. Those on the right dislike those on the left. Most of those on the left, however, hate those on the right. That describes a lunacy in which Americans find our political discourse and those that are giving it. Well, not a fun one, but one that's necessary because we all live in it. We all see it, we hear it, we watch it go on every day. Lunacy, it's here. Thank you for joining us again today. Don't forget, we're here every day at the Truth News Network.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.